The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
I stand there, you get into that job opportunity. They say, ah, I beg, I'm not cut out for such things. But Lord, provide for me. He has missed out on God's provision that God has given. We were in a village some time ago to preach. And I've told this story many times. And as it is in most villages, you know, one of the things about villages is they live very reckless lives. So these guys drink, they smoke, the young people there, waste their money on rubbish. So one young man we met there has been trusting that God was going to change his life, even financially. But he was into that reckless life. So he got saved and we told him, you have to cut down this. Stop all this drinking, because the average young man. And what this guy was asking God for was not too much. He needed motorcycle to start Okada business. Do you understand the point? Motorcycle business. But the point is, he works. He does all this messing, you know, messing. You understand? The point is, he needed to save up money for that. But every evening, he's at the beer parlor drinking pepper soup. Smoking every evening. He will drink to a point that he will be in debt. Then he will go home. They trust that he will come back. So they let him. He goes, works the next day, brings the money, pays yesterday's debt. He goes again. That cycle continued. So when we came and he brought that issue, we prayed for him. But he didn't tell us all this about himself. But by divine knowledge, word of knowledge and all of that, we picked it. I said, look at your lifestyle. He said, well, yes, it's true. I said, you have to stop. That instruction was the answer to his prayer. If he didn't obey it, he would never have a motorcycle in his life. But he did. By the time we returned to that village, at least 2 months after, we left that village. It was a mission work. We left there August 31st. We returned to that community in October. He had his motorcycle. Now, the answer was there. But he was eating his answer. And drinking his answer. And so, how did God answer his prayer? God sent people. And gave him instruction. I get what I'm saying. So, most people don't understand how God answers prayer. So, most people say, God has not answered me. I've been praying for this for a long time. Some don't even understand how prayer works, how God answers prayer. They don't even understand what prayer is. And that's the issue we are having with healing. Because people just say God doesn't heal people. If he heals people, why that? Now you they make all those complaints. You better find out how it works. If not, you will keep complaining, blaming everybody, blaming pastor. Pastor, you see, just like all these people do at the end of every year, they say, pastor, you told me this year was my year. What's going to happen? Now you mess up. Now what's going to happen? Because many people receive that this year is my year, and eventually became their year. Because again, people don't know how to handle prophetic words. So you see, knowledge is at the foundation of everything that God does. Everything. Basic how to handle prophetic words. Thus says the Lord. How do you deal with it when God says speaks like that? You need to know. So we're dealing with healing in this series. And it's so important that you open your ears. Because I believe in the anointing. And thank God I am anointed. So without this teaching, I can walk up to you even if you are sick and touch you, just get it automatically. I don't need this teaching to actually give you healing. But you need this teaching to be able to receive it. You need this teaching to be able to sustain it. And you need this teaching to be able to stop needing this, to stop needing healing. Let me put it down. There is a way you learn God's word, you will stop needing healing. The reason you always need healing is because you lack knowledge. Do you know what I'm saying? Because the ultimate plan of God, that word Rapha, remember I defined it for you. It's a Hebrew word. Okay? That word, let me go over that definition I gave you again. It means to cure, to heal, to mend, to repair, to thoroughly make whole. So it's not just talking about healing when you are sick. It's talking about wholeness. And so when God is promising us healing, it's not just an act of trying to keep us or heal us when we are sick. It's also trying to keep us from sickness. So you look at what God did in Egypt for them. What they were not just healed of sicknesses. They were not even sick at all. God kept them in Goshen. In the whole area of Goshen, nobody was sick. So when we refer to God as Rapha, I still don't know what I'm hearing. This is very, very terrible and I can't even hear my... Can people hear me? Very well. Nice one. So, if you go to the whole Goshen, nobody was sick. So what God did for them was beyond giving them healing. He kept them in perfect health. And that's Jehovah Rapha. So Rapha is not just to cure you. Rapha is to, let me use the word, to also immunize you. When you're immunized against the sickness, it doesn't get to you again. And I will handle that immunization part today. Okay? Are you here? You know, when you are young, they tell you, you need to be immunized against polio, measles, what are all those stuffs? Smallpox, right? What else? Meningitis, COVID. Why don't you guys agree? That is also immunization in God's word. That's what I wanted to see. The plan of God is not that every time you are needing healing, you are needing healing. God wants to bring you to a point where you will not always be needing healing. Where you now begin to enjoy divine health. Hallelujah. So let's look at this. I've taught this before, but I'm going to narrow it down to healing. Proverbs 18 and verse 14. Proverbs 18. Okay, don't worry, let's work with this. Because people are already confused. Let's work with it. Let's use it. Don't worry. Let's read together, everybody. Read it again. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear. Put up like other translations. Because I want to show you a major secret to stay in health. It is to develop a strong spirit. I have a teaching on this, remember? Developing a strong spirit. This is one of the biggest secrets to staying healthy. The human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? Amplify Classic. Any other one? Let's read together. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, listen, this is the reason why two people can go through the same problem. In 2 months, it has killed one person. In 2 years, the other person is still strong. It's the spirit. How strong? The strength of your spirit, man. Are you following me? The strength. The strong, look at message. A healthy spirit conquers adversity. What can you do when the spirit is crushed? So many people are of a weak spirit. And so because they are weak internally. Now I'm talking about spirit. I'm not talking about your reborn spirit. Maybe your new creation spirit. No.
Let's talk about, let me use the word heart. People's hearts are weak. People's spirits are weak.
Do you understand the point?
That we, even in regular conversations, they tell things like, that spirit, this person's spirit is very strong. You find people like that, poison will come, they will survive it. Challenges will come, they will survive it. As they to happen, they will come out from it. So by that person, one small thing is gone. The spirit of man. The human spirit. If it is weak, every other thing is down. So when you have a very solid, when your spirit is strong, you find out things will come to you. They will hit you and will fall off. Just like when someone is immunized. You know, when you're immunized against measles, you get exposed to someone that has measles, the chances are you won't get it. Not because the whatever causing it will not latch itself on you, but it will not stay. Your body has learned how to fight it. Or some whatever they put, that immunization has immunized you from that stuff. It's just like, let me, what I'm explaining to you in the spiritual is like that in the physical. In the human body, there is something they call immune system. Right? You know how the immune system works? During COVID, you know, 2020, we are asked to take a lot of fruits. Right? A lot of fruits. What was the plan to boost your immune system? Even till now, it's necessary. Because someday in this series, maybe next week or next 2 weeks, I'm going to do a little teaching on God's wisdom for divine health. I'm going to touch that. So it's good to watch what you eat. Because watching what you eat will boost. Sometimes when your immune system is down, they might even have to give you different medications. What do they call those things? Multivitamins. Then it boosts your immune system. What happens when your immune system is strong? Your body can easily fight diseases. Now I'm telling you, this thing that is obtainable in the physical is obtainable in the spiritual. If your spirit man is very strong, things may happen to you, but they cannot find their way into your body, into your heart. If at all you even become sick, because you can become sick if your immune system is strong. But even if you become sick, every time, if your immune system is strong and you are sick, any medication you take will work very fast because your immune system is strong. That's how it is. Some people, when they fall sick, you need dose and dose of the word, of prayer, of this to get them out of ordinary malaria. Why? There is a weak, there is weakness in the spirit. I know what I'm talking about too. There are people, when they fall sick in the natural, you have to give this medication, give that medication, fall until finally. Why there are people that will just fall sick? They will just eat and they're fine. I know what I'm saying. And some other person is just going to. Now, most people are weak, and that's why I'm going to give you some instructions today. I can go on and on to pray for you to walk in divine health. But see, you must develop a very strong spirit. It doesn't just help you against sicknesses. It helps you against every other thing in life. Go and listen to that teaching again. Some people, something bad will happen to them. They lose someone. Very terrible thing. Of course, one of the worst things that can happen to anybody is to lose a loved one. It's not. You don't even wish it for your worst enemy. But people lose people. In 2 weeks, they've recovered, they're back on their feet, they're doing life. It's not as though they're happy the person died, but they're moving on. Some others lose people. A distant relative. And for 6 months, you are still coming for condolence, you are still coming to visit, we are still bringing this aid box. The guy never recovers from anything. He's a weak man. He's weak. Because see, things happen to people. It is the strength of their spirit that determines how they cope with it. See, everything just went bad. And you know, you're just at one corner. People wake up and lose everything they've worked for. And they still pick up themselves and continue with life. And they still make it. One person loses 5,000. And then we have to gather.
That's a weak spirit.
I got what I'm saying. So why are you saying all of this? Because the Bible said if you faint in the days of adversity, your strength is small. That same way happens even when people are sick. Ordinary malaria. The guy is doubting, is God real? All this faith that we should confess, is he real? The guy's spirit is very weak. So look at Proverbs again. It says, a healthy spirit conquers adversity. But what can you do when the spirit is crushed? A healthy spirit. Amen. So, your heart, your spirit is like the immune system. The way the immune system of your body functions, that's how that one functions too. So you look at Jesus, for instance, in Luke chapter 2, I think verse 42, he said that Jesus, no, is it verse 2 or verse 40? Look for it. He said, verse 40. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Amen. When you see wax strong, you're not talking about Holy Spirit possessing. You wax strong in spirit and filled with wisdom and grace goes upon him. So Jesus waxed strong in spirit. In Luke 1 verse 80, the same thing was said concerning John the Baptist. He waxed strong in spirit. Luke 1 80. 8, not verse 8. Hallelujah. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. So that is spiritual strength. That's the strength of spirit. That scripture normally quote for us, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16. You see what Paul said, you understand how the human body and the spirit works together. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16. Look at that. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man. So there is an inward man and an outward man. If the inward man is being renewed day by day, even if the outward man is perishing, nothing will go wrong. I get the point. But if the inward man is perishing, even if the outward man is getting stronger, it's a matter of time. The outward man will be conquered. I guess what I'm talking about here. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. This will help because this thing about healing, if you want to stay in health and to be able to combat sicknesses, from Sunday I'll begin to teach on how to receive your healing. But this is very basic. Amen. Put up like NLT of this verse. Let's do it together. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Amplify Classic, another translation. Amplify Classic. Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, wearied out through fear. Though our outward man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is progressively renewed day after day. That's why you see someone, everything has happened to him on the outside. By natural calculation, he should be down, yet he's moving on. That's a strong spirit. Amen. When your spirit is strong, one of the things that will be evident in your life, if you have a very strong spirit, is that you will not live in fear. One major sign of a weak spirit is fear. A weak spirit is always afraid. 2 Timothy tells us, 1 verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So you see someone that has a weak spirit, look at how it affects health. So the guy is just sleeping and wakes up. And his hand is paining him. His hand goes to 1 million places. My hand is about to get paralyzed. I'm about to have osteoporosis periodica. Something he has read somewhere. It doesn't mean anything. Then he picks up his phone, he browses. When you wake up and your hand is paining you. And trust Google. You have matriculated anthropolysis hysteria. You say, And you know, I'm saying, what is the implication? Say your hand will be amputated. That fear, any small thing that comes, that fear is a sign that your spirit man is weak. And I'm going to tell you how to deal with it too. Because Job said, what I feared the most has come upon me. That's Job chapter 3, verse 25. What I feared the most. So what are things that came upon Job? He became sick. Of course, he lost his family. He lost his children. He lost his money, his investment. He became sick. His body began to, he had boils. All those things, Job said, they were the things he feared the most. So when you are weak, it's easier to be, for you to be assessed. Now, does it mean that anybody that falls sick is of a weak spirit? No. But how, one of the ways to know whether someone is of a weak spirit or not is how the person begins to act when the sickness has come. There are some, because sometimes you can have, like I said, a strong immune system and you still catch sickness. It can happen. But then how people now begin to act? Your dialect is paining them. It's just like they're so afraid. They're seeing coughing. What if I die now? So is this how my life is going to waste? That constant fear is a sign of a weak spirit. That constant fear. It's proof that your spirit man need some renewing. Are you following me? You're always afraid. Always afraid. It's good, for instance, to be health conscious. But there is health consciousness that is fear. You are so afraid. You are watching your steps. Let me even tell you something you don't know. You see that place you're sitting? There are about 1 million microorganisms around you, as I'm talking to you now, that have the capacity to make you sick, believe it or not. If anybody studied microbiology here, they will tell you it's actually true. If they pass your hand through the microscope, there are over 1,000 microbes in your hand that want to make you sick now. What is HIV? It's when something defeats your immune system, right? Your immune system is now down. Then every sickness that now want, that could have happened to you before will now start happening to you because your immune system is now down. It cannot fight off those sicknesses. So there are sicknesses waiting to possess you now as we are talking. So if you begin to live your life in fear, there is a lot of reason to be afraid. I get to the point. All this unnecessary fear. So people are actually trying to live healthy, and it's not bad. But then you begin to see the extreme of it. You don't touch this, you don't touch that. You don't drink this, you don't drink that. It's not bad. But make sure you know the line between walking in health and watching your health and living in fear. You must know the line between these two. Because once fear comes, the door of the devil is open. I get what I'm saying. Watch your health, oh. But you must know the line between these two. Because it's a thin line. You can just cross over before you know you're living in total fear. Your mind is messed up because you're afraid. What if I die now? What if this happens? What if I touch this person? And this has happened. And all of that. Amen. You shouldn't be careless, but shouldn't walk in fear. Not being fearful doesn't mean you expose yourself to sickness. For instance, don't be afraid of accidents. But then, don't go stand in the middle of the road and say, I'm not afraid of accidents. Do you understand? Standing in the middle of the road for a car to hit you is foolishness. But then living your life every day in fear of accidents is a greater foolishness. Because what I feared the most has come. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid is come unto me. So you must watch it. So when a man's spirit is weak, one of the first things you notice is that he's always afraid. He's always afraid. They say, tuberculosis has come. Any small thing, you know. COVID. How many of you coughed during COVID? And you thought you caught COVID? How many of you remember Ebola? We tell you to bath in salt and water. Do you remember that? Unnecessary fear. And that has the capacity to kill you. Why do you wonder why sometimes there's an accident? I've seen it happen. Cars were assaulted 3 times. 2 adults, 1 baby. 2 adults died, baby's alive. Have you seen that kind of thing happen? Nothing happened to the baby. Most times, those adults did not die because of accident wound. It was the fear in their hearts that took them out. That's why in this journey of divine health, we must deal with fear. And that takes me back to my medical practitioners here. All these things, because you guys are exposed to all these things every day. Before you know, you're afraid. You've caught this one. You've caught that one. I like the testimony that they shared here some time ago. One of our people worked on someone that, a doctor worked on someone that had HIV. And after being so careful, the syringe came on her. Pierced her. And the person that were not guessing whether she had HIV or not, they knew the person had HIV. And she was so careful, yet the syringe. Say amen. And that's the power. You know, sometimes when God is training you and preparing you, you actually don't know where you need it. That's when to show whether you've been in church. Of course, she knew the window period for HIV, whatever, was 3 months. So she wasn't going to go test herself within the church. So throughout that 3 months, every day she was confessing. No HIV in my body. The life of God is working in me. She fought it and fought it for the whole 3 months, tested herself negative. I get what I'm saying. Now, this is what someone would have. If he pierces you, if you see someone has a weak spirit, that thing pierces into your body and comes out. Before you even check, you're taking antiretroviral drugs. You've not checked nothing. Okay, what are you going to work you first? In case. You know, look at Job chapter 1. That was said, Job was making sacrifices for his children every day. In case they've sinned again. His children have not sinned. But he was making it in case they sin. So when he now says, what I fear the most has come, that's what is happening. I get the point. And if you are seeing Job sacrificing every day, you will think Job is a very spiritual person. But he was responding to fear. I get the point. It was so when the days of their feasting were got about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and caused God. So maybe. And he did it how long? Continually. So every day, who knows if my children have sinned or sleeping, offer sacrifice. Hey, maybe they have sinned today or fear. Amen. That's why I say, getting knowledge about sicknesses, make sure you are learning God's word. So that you don't wake up tomorrow and you have sore throat. You say, what's sore throat a sign of? Or there's a growth in my body. I don't understand. Yeah, cancer. Amen. When a man's spirit is weak, he's always afraid. Another sign of a weak spirit, and this one is very strong, is hopelessness. People that are weak are always hopeless. Any small thing, they give up easily. And I see this thing happening in the hospital all the time. Do you know that once you are sick in the hospital and you give up, you're going to die. That's why it's even called giving up the ghost. You gave up the ghost. What is the ghost? Your spirit. You gave up. But actually, a lot of people die because their spirit is weak. So, and one of the signs is that they give up very easily. Look at that. Look at Job 14, verse 7. Let me show you. That popular scripture, I've quoted it a lot here. There is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, it will sprout again. That the tender branch. So he said, a tree. I want you to understand, because we quote it all the time, and it looks like, okay, think of this, a full tree. It has been cut down. The Bible said, once water at the tender, it said that it can sprout again. The tender branch, therefore, will not see the next verse. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. Verse 9. Yet though the scent of water, it will pour. Through the scent of water, rather, it will pour. So once water splashes on it, in other words, what the Bible is saying is there is no hopeless situation. Even if a tree has been cut, if water splashes on it, it can come up. They declare you have only 2 days to live. That's not the problem. What at the scent of water, it will sprout. But you see that person that is
hopeless. That person that has a very weak spirit, he gives up very easily. Say, oh, they say you have cancer. Say, ah. The last five people I knew that had cancer died. So that is it now. Life is over. Amen. And there are people that you tell them you have cancer, stage 3. And they go on to God and begin to confess. Cancer does not live in my body. The life of God is okay. What is happening? He has hope that things will change. Somebody falls sick in the city and relocates to the village so that it will be easier to bury him. I've seen real life stories like that. So that it will be easier so they don't have to move him down. Hopelessness. And there is no man of God that can recover that. Nobody. Pray from now to tomorrow. He has given up in his own heart. It's hopelessness. He gets people that have a very weak spirit. Every small thing, they give up. They give up. I know I'm going to live very long. Now, it doesn't matter what you diagnose me with. I did. God was telling me, I just know it. God is going to heal me. So what if the healing doesn't come? I'll just be alive, living a very comfortable life. Forever. Well, something is wrong with your eye. You already imagine yourself using long stick. Hopelessness. Even without Bible, without spiritual whatever, people that are hopeful always get things done. Because the reason they would diagnose someone of an eye condition and he doesn't even attempt surgery at all, it's because he believes, I beg, nothing, it can't change. Another person will go for surgery. The surgery fails in Nigeria. He goes to India. Because apart from the fact that he has the money, but so he believes that something can be done about this. But another person believes nothing can be done about this. So it is what it is. And once you come down to it is what it is, it will become what it is. For there is hope. A strong spirit never gives up hope. Because there is always hope. So if you're going to work in divine health, you have to always, you know, one sign of a strong spirit, you must always be hopeful. Isaiah 40 verse 29. Hallelujah. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Verse 30. He gives us strength. Verse 30, come on. Hallelujah. Even the youth shall faint. And be weary, the young men shall utterly fall, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with you, they shall run and not be weary. So it's all that thing that gets you weary, that makes you hopeless, that makes you give up, is a sign that your spirit is weak. Diagnose me with or of anything, I know I am still going to be fine. They check a woman and they tell her, oh, as I'm the way I'm looking at your tummy, you cannot carry a baby again. If that lady says okay and accepts it, last sha, we go adopt. There's nothing wrong with adoption, but she will never have a baby. But someone else says, well, I don't have any problem with you, doctor. You've done your job. It's me and my God now. Father, there shall be no barren woman in the land. And she holds on to that for long, she will carry a baby. Because once there is hope, hope, the Bible tells us to make it not ashamed. Once you are walking in hope, nothing is going to fail. At the scent of water, it was proud again. At the scent of water. So, the issue is, one sign that people's spirit is very weak is this thing, hopelessness. It's very easy for them to give up. Very easy. Move away from sickness, every other thing. Some young guys are doing drugs today. Do you know why? They gave up on life very easily. Nobody was there to pay my school fees, so I entered streets. Are you mad? Do you know how many people that nobody was there to pay their school fees and that graduates today? You are just hopeless. You just allowed your situation to take over your mind. Nobody's going to pay your school fees. And it now became a street ball. Not all of us should be on the streets. I'm not insulting you people, but I passed a church of where many of you did not come from rich families. Sorry. One of you came from either poor homes, average homes. Eh? Or no home. But what do we do here? We keep injecting you with hope. Once that hope keeps entering, you keep going.
I get what I'm talking about.
You keep going. So as you apply for a job, 10 of them send you rejection mail. You come to church on Sunday. What do? We supply you with hope again. Once that hope is being supplied, you will keep going. One day it will enter. But one other person has chosen hopelessness. Say, there is nothing that can be done again now. I beg, leave this thing. Hey, that are promising us. When are things ever going to change? I beg, don't bully me. You see, that man is a weak man, and nothing will work for him. And that's not because God is denying him of anything. That's because he has given up. Don't give up. No matter the medical report, don't accept it. Don't give up. No matter what life is offering you, don't give up. No matter what is true in your family, there are many truths. That is the truth of God's word. So you don't give up like that. I get what I'm saying. All your family, everybody had arthritis and rheumatism and eventually go crippled. You are turning 30 and you begin to notice the pain on your leg. Will you accept arthritis? Will you accept rheumatism? That's time to stand on God's word and say, I'm not giving up yet. I know what the word of God has said. I'm going to stand firm on God's word because I know there is hope for a tree. If it be cut down. Are you following me, everybody? If you do not allow your heart to become hopeless, things can still work. I said things can still work. Your ear can still be restored. Your eyes can still see again. Your bones can still come alive again. Your organs can still function very well again. Once you stay in hope, stay hopeful. Because a sign of hopelessness is a sign of a weak spirit. To always become hopeless whenever anything goes wrong. Hear me, I'm not wishing you bad. But the bad side of life will come to all of us. It's what you do when it comes that matters. I still believe. I still believe. Come on, say, I still believe. Walk up to three persons, give them high fives. I still believe. Come on. I still believe. Something will still work. Water will still come from the rock. My health will be perfect again. My legs will walk again. My eyes will be perfect again. My ears will hear again. My young girls will work well again. I don't care what the result is, but I still believe that water will come from the rock. Hey! Now you've got to believe. You've got to believe. That's how they diagnose us of different things, and we don't die. And we don't die. One of our dear ones in this church had surgery, and they removed one of her. What was that that's between the wounds? It's over it too. They removed one. And they had doubts about the other one. I say, can they give birth? Can she give birth? Well, one ovary can function, but we don't understand the situation. I say, don't bother. You know, most of the things people write to me on my WhatsApp, I don't read them. Once I just understand where you are going, it's gone. I'm telling you, I just okay. They say the ovary is bad, and the reason is it's done. All of you do this in a deal sometimes. And I went to, after many tests, we ran another test. They say it's tuberculosis. We ran another one. It says the money. I'm not a doctor. I don't need all those. I am not anointed to listen to problems. I'm anointed to solve them. So when I'm not listening to your problem, don't complain. I just have the solution to it. So I said, don't worry. They have their children now. I didn't say a child, children. I get the point. Another person would have said, so we can't give birth now. So, now so it be. Well, I still love my husband. I still love my wife. So, whether we give birth or not, I know that we can adopt. And there's nothing wrong with adoption. But is that what you want? Now, if you... There are people that just don't want to give birth. They want to adopt for different reasons. And if that's what you want, that's perfect. It's God that put that in your heart and it's okay. Do you understand? That is okay. Some people are like that. Just like that, some people that don't want to get married. Truth. They just want to be there. And the Bible says there's really nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. But don't let life situation choose for you.
Measure is what you choose by yourself.
Don't decide not to get married because you've reached 40 and you cannot marry again. That's not decision. Life forced it on you. I get what I'm talking about. If you still want to get married at 40, at 45, you will still get married and give birth. That is the truth. Unless you accept that you cannot. Do you know what God did to Elizabeth? Do you know what God did to Sarah? It was to get them to believe. Sarah, your name is no longer Sarah, your name is now Sarah. It means they keep saying, I'm the mother of many nations. Keep saying it. So that hope will rise in your heart again. So that you see that there are no dead wombs with God. That the God that created womb can create a baby without womb. Yeah. Elizabeth, the same thing. She kept believing. She kept. That was why. Oh, when God went to Mary, when Elijah went to Mary and told Mary you're going to give birth, Mary doubted. Mary said, I know not a man. And the angel said, the power of God come upon you and convinced her. And even told her, I want to convince you further. Go to your cousin Elizabeth, because she's pregnant now. Why did God pass her through all of that? Because she has to believe that it is possible. So Mary now went to Elizabeth to go and confirm. I saw that Elizabeth is really pregnant. That now encouraged her. That if a woman in her 80s can be pregnant, a woman that's not known a man can be pregnant. That was the hope that made her able to carry Jesus. So all these things, that any small thing that happens, don't resist it. You just give up. Any small thing, you give up. Any small thing that goes wrong in your health, you begin to fidget. There are testimonies I was sharing in this church. Don't worry, we are coming. Things are developing. You're a woman, oh, my period ceases for 3 months or 4 months. It's like I can't be a mother again. Get yourself treated. Do everything you can, but you see, if you give up hope, that'll be it. It means your spirit is weak. But I'm not weak. Amen. No, recently, when you hear that people are living long, don't think, I've been saying since I started, don't think that what it means is that they don't have any problem. No, but the Copeland has been off the pulpit for a very long time. So I think since April. He just came back to the pulpit last week. What happened? His, what is that in their stomach? Appendicitis. Appendicitis. The appendix have what? Ruptured. And if you are a medical person, you should know that that's a big deal. Said he was just driving and suddenly he felt a very sharp pain. They drove him in the ambulance to the hospital, said that's ruptured, they did everything. The man is back on his feet preaching. Appendix rupturing, the little I know, is almost death sentence. Except that it's quick medical intervention and all of that. But you know what recovers such men? It's not actually the medical intervention. It's the fact that they believe. The man told us he'll be preaching till he's 120. You don't understand that man. Said, I'll be here at 120 because that's the least age that God was. What, how old was Moses when he died? I think 120. See, that's when he will now say, okay. Amen. So, no matter what's happening, once there is hope, it doesn't mean sicknesses will not hit you. That's why you must have a strong spirit. It can hit you. But if there is strength in your spirit, one sign that you will always be hopeful. And once you are very hopeful like that, you will come out of it. No scratch. So a sign of a strong spirit is hopelessness, of a weak spirit rather, is hopelessness. If you have a strong spirit, you always be hopeful. You know, another thing the weak spirit does to you, that the weak spirit makes you very vulnerable. Very vulnerable to sickness and diseases. It means anyone that comes, your body cannot fight it. Your body cannot rise against it. I've explained that when I was talking to you about the immune system. Your body cannot rise against it. So every attack of the devil finds its way to you. Everything finds its way to you. If there is a new disease in town, you're almost the first to catch it. Once it's season for kata, it must happen to you first. Once it's season for malaria, it must catch it first. Once it's season for fever, I know what I'm talking about. You know, it's like there are different seasons in Nigeria for sicknesses. At the time you get to, everybody's having, what's that one in the eye? That's not the word. I think the word is
conjunctivitis, something like that. Now, but that didn't happen this year. It happened last year. Where should it happen this year? But I think the hunger in Nigeria has pursued it in. Even their pool have sea shaken. So, but the point is, once it is that season, they must catch it. When you notice that's the pattern in your life, I will tell you what to do. Just be solid. Have a strong spirit. Have a strong spirit. So that as you are adding to your physical body, you are eating well, because we'll still touch all of that in this series. You're also building, so as you are building a solid immune system in the physical, you are building a solid immune system in the spiritual. You are solid. It's not everything else that can penetrate you now. I get to the point. So don't be weak. So I'll just share a few things with you. Have you been getting blessed? I've shared some of this in that message I referred you to, so I'll just share some of them. To develop a strong spirit, number one. Of course, how do you build your immune system in the physical? What's the first thing they tell you? Eat. So feeding. So you must feed on God's word. Not when you are sick. Every time. You cannot build your immune system when you are sick. When you are sick, you just take drugs to recover from the sickness. So when you fall sick and you come here and I'm teaching you God's word, and eventually you recover, that God's word was not to build your spirit, man. Mm-mm. It was just to get you out of that sick bed. I get what I'm talking about. And when you now get out of that sick bed, we will now ask you, okay, oh, start eating well. I was talking with Pastor Maka the other day, and somebody was lacking blood, you know. And I told Pastor Maka, he lacks blood. I said he mustn't eat. He mustn't take drug now. Can't you just get him on fruits, vegetables, and all of that? But Amaka said, well, it can work, but he's already very low on blood. So I have to give him medication. Let him come back, and then he will not start eating those fruits and vegetables to keep him alive. That's how it works in the spiritual. When you are sick, what you are looking for is healing. So you are taking God's word, injecting yourself, then you get healed. Now, that's now when you begin now to feed your spirit man with strength. It's not when you are sick, you now try to build a strong spirit. It doesn't work. Developing a strong spirit is to begin to feed your spirit man with spiritual food. Spiritual food is the word of God. It's the word of God. That's why when we say things like, and I'm going to say some things here. When we say things like, read your Bible every day. Somebody thinks they're trying to control his life. Why will you tell me what to do? We'll say, listen to a message every day. The person says, why should I listen to God's word, to that message every day? Be in church 2 times at least in a week. Why? How do you intend to be strong? How do you intend to be strong? Well, that's why many people are weak. Any small thing that happens, they break that because there is not enough word in their system. I get to the point. Kate Moore was sharing a story of a woman that was diagnosed of cancer. So when they brought her to the church, to their healing school rather, so she was gone, literally gone. She couldn't even, they would just carry her, come and drop her. But he said they saw her 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. In a matter of months, not only did she get well, she blossomed. That's the word used. So then she shared this when she told them, I got so full of the word, there was no space for the cancer. Ketmon said they shouted for 10 minutes. So I got so full of the word, there was no room again in my body for the cancer. You can get so full of the word, there will be no room for typhoid. You can get so full of the word, there will be no room for certain things. Because the word has filled up every space. I get what I'm talking about. You build that strong spirit. It is in prayer, in the word of God. Power this. It's in the word of God that you are receiving spiritual strength. This is food. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Hallelujah. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God.
I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the hand of my righteousness. When you hear things like this, it makes you strong. But let me show you a scripture. Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Verse 9. Verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. It is when you let the word of God and the book of the Lord stay and dwell in your mouth and in your heart, that's when you can be strong and not be afraid. You cannot be strong without eating. You cannot have a strong immune system without feeding. Life is not meant to be lived on drugs. Life is meant to be lived on food. Now, this is not a spiritual statement. It's a medical, natural statement. You don't live on drugs. You don't wake up on Sunday morning and you take paracetamol. Start eating. In the afternoon, you take another supplement. It doesn't work. You should eat food. That same way, you should not treat the word of God like it's medication. When you are sick, you read it and read it and pray. You don't get yourself. You don't stop. Till you become sick again. No. Eat it like food. And I want to say it again. If you follow the routines we give you in this church, your spirit man will be strong. Here we make you come to church 2 times as an average member. Some people 4 times in a week that are in church. We give you a message for the week, a series, at least 4 messages. Because our series is basically 4. Sometimes 2, sometimes 3. That you listen to every week. We give you a Christian book you have to read every month. Because you are not carrying cane, pushing you up and down, saying, have you read it? You now think you can realize. Those things are to be able to make you a solid person. That there is so much word in your system. That when the devil comes, because he will surely come, there is something to combat. Because I tell you what, there is so much word in your system. When challenges come, the way you be displaying strength, you are wondering, how did I even become like this? There are scriptures you will quote when you fall sick that you don't even know that you know. It's when you fall sick or when something, they will just jump from your spirit. Do I know the Bible this like this? That's the best. Have you felt what I'm talking about? Yeah. You are quoting some scriptures like this. I'm wondering, me, Zev, I'm a Bible scholar. I can start church now because I know too much. Yes. Now, it's not when you fall sick, you use your phone and you type scriptures on healing. Now, they're going to pop up. You are going to read them. But there is no revelation in those things you are reading. There's no revelation. Except the scripture you've known before. It is by staying on God's word. Staying on God's word. Nobody can have a strong spirit if he doesn't eat God's word. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. 1 Peter 2 verse 1 and 2. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So it is the word of God that helps you grow. You want to have strong bones in the spirit? Eat. That's why you must feed yourself. Because I know all these things I'm doing, I'm preparing you for ministry. But can I say this to you? I'm also preparing you for life. Because sicknesses will come. Challenges will come. Where do we get the strength to stand? When the devil has done his worst. Where do we get the strength to stand that we are not shaken? When everything is falling apart. Where do we get the strength to stand when there is no light before us? It is how much word we have in our system. Let me say something to you. Let me go back to medicine. If your immune system is strong and you eventually fall sick, when we give you whatever medication we are giving you, if I'm wrong, I may not use the right words, but I don't think I'm wrong. I think your immune system will cooperate with that drug that has been given to you. Is that a word? Maybe that's not the word, but you get what I'm trying to say. That immune system will cooperate with the drug that has been given to you to work. See what I'm trying to say? If there is not enough word in your system, That's why we can gather and pray for you and pray for you and pray for you. But it's not working because your faith level is very low. Your faith level is low because your word level is low. So that's why in the healing, there are people we pray for. After some time, we just give them scriptures. And we'll say, go home and listen to this. Go home and pray with this. After 2 months, come back. It's not like God is saying, I cannot heal you now. They are not ready for the healing. Then sometimes the prayer we are releasing is carrying power. But there's nothing to work with it. Are you following me? I'm teaching a very powerful secret too. We can go to crusade and release power. Cripples will start walking. They don't need too much word of God in their system. But then how long, you know, you are healed of a weak leg today. Hope you don't get blind tomorrow. I get what I'm saying. Because you don't realize the devil has never gone to sleep. So he's still on patrol. He's still patrolling. So we can heal this. It's not a big deal. But then, how much do we sustain that which has happened? And how do we stay healthy? The secret is this thing I'm telling you. So you develop a strong spirit by feeding on God's word. How do you feed on God's word? Okay, well, before I get to that, let me just proceed. By feeding on God's word. Psalm 32, verse 5 to 6, talking about forgiveness. I'll read it, Amplified Classic. Psalm 32, verse 5, Amplified Classic. Hallelujah. He said, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, continually unfolding the past till all is told. Then you instantly forgave me the guilt and the iniquity of my sin. So he received forgiveness from the Lord. At least he understood he received forgiveness. See the next verse. I will not be afraid of 10,000. No, come on, you've skipped. He said, for this forgiveness, that forgiveness he received in verse 5, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time where you may be found. Surely, when the great waters of trial overflow, they shall not reach the spirit in him. When there's an understanding of that God's forgiveness, he said, the great waters of trial will overflow, but they shall not reach the spirit in him. So do you see that things can happen on the outside to not enter a man's spirit? And I've taught you guys this. It is not, you know, how come water can sink ship, whereas ship is sailing on water? Because the water that sinks ship is not the water outside. It is the water that enters into the ship. So there can be water outside. How many kilometers cover the water? The ship is comfortable on top of it. Once water gains entrance into the ship, that ship is going to sink. So you see, it's not the troubles on the outside that will sink a believer. It is what has gained access into his spirit, man. Which is why there needs to be too much word. So sickness can be your system, in your body, but it has not entered your spirit, your mind. It has not overcome your heart. Because somehow you still believe you'll be fine. Somehow you're not still afraid. They say you can't use your hand again, but there's no fear. There is still hope. That sickness has not conquered you. You'll come out. Don't worry. But once you see that in gain access in, and reaches that spirit in you. Are you getting what I'm saying, friends? So the word of God. So again, how do people stay fit physically? Feeding. The second thing they recommend if you're going to stay fit physically is exercise. Abby? You don't want to hear that? Is what? Some of you know, you need to know this. You don't exercise so that you can lose weight. That's not the reason you exercise. Are you aware? Exercise is just part of life. You have to stay alive and keep fit. How many of you monitor the number of steps you take every day? Anybody? What's your average? Huh? 6 million. Okay, what's your targeted number of steps you want to take every day? Huh? I target 10,000 every day. Sometimes I succeed. Days when I'm just at home mostly, I don't succeed. But there are many ways to cover it. As it comes to God's wisdom, you pray. Don't sit down while praying. When you pray, pace. You are using one stone to kill three birds. Actually, I don't sit down to pray. Because when you do my work involves drive, get where you are, sit down, see people, sit down, study. Do you understand? I'm not on the site carrying cement. People that are on the site carrying cement, sometimes they target 50,000 steps. But when you do my kind of work that demands mostly sit down, attend to people, and so I just have to balance it as I'm working and praying. You get the point? I'm praying. Now, what I'm saying is, everybody needs to exercise. Now, that is also how to stay fit spiritually. That is spiritual exercise. So the first is feeding. That feeding is by God's word. The second is exercise. Spiritual exercise. 2 Timothy 4 verse 7 tells us to exercise ourselves unto godliness. 2 Timothy 4 7. Open it up. Okay. No. That's not it. Please don't write that. Let me get the exam. Is it first? 1 Timothy 4 7 rather, not second. Second is a good part of faith. Yes. It says, refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So that is exercise unto godliness. So there are things you do and you are training yourself in godliness. So what are those exercises? For instance, confessing the word. It's a major exercise, spiritual exercise that you're going to engage in if you're going to be spiritually healthy. And I'm not saying confessing the word when you are sick. Speaking the word every time. Why do you think we have songs in this church that we deliberately bring confessions and God gives us those songs? Why do you think God is giving us those songs? So that you can have what to be saying. You must confess words. Proverbs 18 verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. So if you are going to have death, it's in your words. If your organ will fail tomorrow, it's in your words. If your tongue will stop working, it's in your words. Are you getting the point? If your eye will stop working, your words. Anything that will happen to you is your words. I heard my pastor say something recently. He said, you know, the thing in the realm of the spirit, angels don't understand comedy. So they say, I was just joking. Do you understand? That's why I don't even jokingly call myself an idiot. I've never been an idiot. I get what I'm saying. You know, you must come to a point where both in your daily conversation, that's the regular conversation. That's why there are things that you must delete from your vocabulary as a conversation with people every day. That's one. Then there will also be specialized time you make out to base speaking God's word every day. Your confession, I've taught you, there are many areas of life that your confession must cover. One of them is your health, your daily confession. The life of God is working in me. Those sicknesses in my body. My body functions to the full capacity that created the function. I'm strong. God calls me strong. I'm strong in the Lord. I call my eyes strong. I call my organs strong. I call my bones strong. I call my ears strong. I call my heart strong. I call my system strong. I'm strong in the Lord. The Bible said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So my organs are strong. My bone is strong. My bones are strong. My organs are strong. My liver is strong. My kidney is strong. My body is strong. My body functions to the full capacity that God created it to function. No weakness. No weariness. No weakness. No weariness. I'm growing stronger. I'm getting stronger. No sickness stands in my body. I walk in health. I walk in power. The power of God is at work in me. As I speak words of faith, they come to pass. I live long. I live strong with nothing wrong. Glory to God. So you see, when they now diagnose you of a sickness, now you've been speaking God's word before, and then I say, oh, they notice that your ear is this. Every morning you wake up, you hold that ear. In the name of Jesus, you are strong. You respond to the word of God. You function to the full capacity. What are you doing? You're exercising. This area of God's word is now called, in medicine, they call this one physiotherapy. Where are they here? So that when physiotherapy, they say someone has stroke, when they've given all the injection and what have you, they will have to, persons keep exercising for long, right? Mark, am I speaking your mind? Keep exercising until that body part can begin to function normally again. And sometimes, not just any kind of exercise, so they have regimens, I can use that word, that they have to go through, and they can almost predict that if you follow this thing dutifully, that in 3 months you'll be back on your feet. And it works. It's exercise. And the Bible said, bodily exercise profited little. So physiotherapy profited. Come on, let's see them. Be seated. Profited what? Little. So, bro, Max course. Profits very little something. But even at that little, it profits. If you follow physiotherapy, counsel and all that, you can stay strong all days of your life. You see people there in their 60s, 70s, that are walking up and down. Somebody is 40. He's managing to stand up. Lack of exercise. I get what I'm saying. Lack of exercise. You look at players, football players, for instance. Look at someone like Cristiano Ronaldo. What's the Portugal guy? Pepe. The guy is 41 years. And they're still on the field. Playing sometimes 90 minutes. The last match, they were there for 120 minutes. Criticize them all you want, but there are a few things to learn. To stay strong like that, it's not in the spirit by the spirit. It took physical exercise. Who's following me? Physical exercise. And so, confessing God's word is one. Confessing God's word is one. Another exercise, for instance, is prayer. Prayer is a major spiritual exercise. A major one. It brings strength. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 22, if you read from verse 41, talking about Jesus, when he got to Gethsemane, he was withdrawn, he knelt down, he prayed. Continue. After he prayed, of course, this is the detail of the prayer. Continue. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So Jesus became stronger because he prayed. Prayer gives you strength. Not prayer when there is a problem. That's why, listen to what I'm saying. You must build a prayer life. You know, let me say this to you. It's not the thing I tell you today in church. It's just to be able to make sure that you are strong when the adversary comes. Not if he comes. He will definitely come. Is to make sure that you are strong. We have 4 hours prayer. He said, I beg, what am I going to do for 4 hours? What do you think prayer is? It's prayer that gives you strength. There are things that have happened to some of us that if we open our mouth and share them with you, you begin to fidget. Are you getting the point? Just because there is a little delay in what you expected, you already fidgeted. Can't work on your prayer life. The job is yours, you say amen. 2 weeks you've not seen the job, you already fidgeted, questioning. You are weak. Prayer is what to infuse that strength. I get the point. You know, my pastor shared a story recently. You know, they have a baby now. They have a new baby. After they had their first 2 children, they tried to give birth again. Because people, men of God, don't tell you what they passed through. You think everything is fine. And they couldn't. Mom had 2 miscarriages in 1 year. And at the time, my dad was like, I beg, don't stress my wife. I'm not doing it again. The Bible said he created a male and female. So we have 2. Let's just stay. By the time, the wife told him, that's mom told him, that one wanted to get married, You said you wanted, we wanted three kids. One boy, two ladies. And he said, and you taught me, was telling my dad, not to leave any place defeated. Dad said, in that 3 minutes, he looked like I was sitting in a faith seminar. My own faith seminar. Said, just spoke those words. Said, we have to go again. He said, it looks like faith seminar. You know, when you are schooled by your own, with your own message notes, and they school you. He said, okay. And what I'm trying to tell you, all this, you try to get things, it doesn't work. He said, that thing injected. He said, no, we are going again. And in the course of the prayer, of course, he even had a vision of the girl that was going to be born, how she was going to look like, the name, everything. And she came exactly like that. The reason is, now, some other person will try to get something, maybe a baby, maybe health, maybe whatever, and then it's not going coming through. He said, I beg, let me stay. Even when somebody says, somebody like pastor now is trying to inject you, God, go again. He said, I'm not going nowhere. It's out of weakness. Go. Go where I've been going. I'm not going anywhere. It's weakness. The reason that word mom spoke to him was able to resonate with his spirit man is because that's what is alive. But there are people that are not vulnerable to God's word. No matter what you say, they can never change their stand. I say I'm not trying again. If you like, preach from now till tomorrow. And in the course of all of these things, none of us knew. The sons, we didn't know. Until they were ready, they confessed God's went for it. And again, I want to understand something. You must come to a point where you have a solid prayer life. That's what makes you strong. That is why everything that comes to you will not get you down. Jesus prayed, an angel appeared and strengthened him. So you see Jesus carrying the cross. Why didn't you throw away the cross? I'm no more going. He prayed, an angel strengthened him. Are you following me, everybody? Why did he get up and say, this people are flogging me, is too much. Oh. Father, I see how I'm going to bear the cross. I'm not bearing again. And then just strengthened him. So you see that scale landing on his body, but there was strength from the inside. Prayer is what produces that kind of strength. You must live a prayed up life. A prayed up. One of our sisters was me yesterday in the office. No, was that yesterday? No, 2 days ago. I was sharing her ordeals with me, all the things that has happened to her since this year, and I was just there, just feeling bad for her, searching my spirit, how are we going to help this lady? And she said something. She said, but sir, I want to thank you especially for the prayer watch, morning and evening. She said, if not, I would have broken down. Now, the normal me now would have been depressed, had panic attacks, and I'll be out. She said, but this prayer, morning, evening, even though things are still bad on the outside, but I'm very strong on the inside. I say, that's it. That's what prayer does. It makes you, gives you life. Don't be weak. Have a solid prayer life. Your consistent prayer time, protracted prayer times, sometimes protracted 4 hours, 3 hours prayer time, 6 hours, spend time in prayer. You will get stronger. And then maybe I will add, okay, before I proceed, look at Psalm 84 verse 5. Prayer strengthens us. Prayer strengthens us. After 10 minutes. Oh, use it well. Amen. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. In whose heart are the ways of them. Continue. Verse 6. Blessed is that man. Verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. And the rain also filled the pools. You understand it very soon. Verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appear before God. Go to verse 5. Proper penalty. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord. Who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of threshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with the blessings. Verse 7. They will continue to grow stronger. And each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. When you appear before God in Zion again and again, you will get stronger. Put up Amplified Classic, verse 5. Amplified Classic. Blessed, happy, fortunate to him and to be envied is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of weeping, that's Baca.
They make it a place of springs. The early rain also fills the pools with blessings. They go from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. Each of them appears before God. Inside. You cannot keep appearing before God every day and be weak. You will grow from strength to strength. So prayer makes you strong. They say you should pray, you are just misbehaving. You are going to be weak eventually. That's why any small thing, you're already fidgeting. Any small thing. Let me tell you, if you're a strong person in the spirit, thoughts of fear will come. There will be moments you just feel afraid, but it will not stay. It will not stay. Before you know, you shake it off, you're moving again. Because thoughts of fear must come. But how long they stay is a question of how strong you are. There are days you just feel like, you know, some of us have days like, what if I don't make it? There are those moments. But some people, it's not a moment for them. It's a lifetime. That's their reality. Every day. They constantly think they will not make it. Why are you always like that? Have a prayer life. Prayer strengthens you. Prayer strengthens you. God's word will strengthen you. You are in church, you get strengthened. You pray in your house, you get strengthened. You spend time listening to God's word, you get strengthened. It makes you stronger. Exercise will strengthen you. I tell you, one more exercise that will strengthen you is joy. Practicing joy. Make it a habit to rejoice in the Holy Ghost. Now, let me explain. Some of you that are new here, let me explain what I mean by rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. Some people, when they say rejoicing in the Holy Ghost, they just say, well, I'm rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. What I think, I'm rejoicing. Rejoice is an active word. When you rejoice, you show it. I tell you, I shout in my house. I run around in my room. Sir, what difference does that make? I'll show you in the Bible. When you rejoice in the Holy Ghost, whenever somebody is displaying joy, joy infuses strength into you. Because notice, whenever anybody is down, the last thing he wants to do is to rejoice. You meet a man that has not eaten by 2 p.m. and he says rejoice. That's the last thing he wants to do. Because sadness and pain, they go hand in hand. Even the English people tell us that a hungry man is an angry man. So once things are not moving well, the easiest thing you want to do is to frown, to fight everybody. But that, I can tell you, will make you weaker and weaker. So whether there is a problem or not, have a constant habit of joy. I said every morning when you finish praying, up go there 1 minute or 2 minutes. Do at least every day you are releasing joy from your spirit. There's a reason we are the way we are. It's not because things don't happen to us. Because I'm deliberate with joy. People always say, you people are forging it. How am I sure that joy is in the spirit? What makes joy in the spirit is what has filled your heart when you are doing it. So look at it now. You are married. You have a beautiful wife, handsome husband. And sometimes you think about your husband and you just smile. You are rejoicing in your marriage. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're a football fan. Your club wins a match. Sometimes you think about, we trash Chelsea today. And you just laugh. You're rejoicing in that club. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just in the flesh. That same way, to rejoice in the spirit is to think of what God has made available for you in the spirit. And you now laugh about them. Do you understand what I told you now? When you put that in your mind and you laugh in response to that, the Bible will tell us that's the source of strength. Nehemiah 8 verse 10. Nehemiah 8 verse 10. Oh, hallelujah. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day, is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, I wish I had time to touch the background of this story. He said, this is not the day to be sorry. Don't feel bad. As you keep rejoicing in the Lord, you'll be getting strengthened. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Psalm 28 verse 7. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Sometimes put that your favorite song in your house.
Don't just dance to them. Be singing them loud and be dancing. Just in your room. Just in your room. Practice it. It's not once in a while. But why I'm telling you not to always put song is so that you can learn to do it when there is no song playing. I rejoice with or without song. If there is a song, but sometimes without song. Some of you only pray or rejoice when there is a song playing. It's not bad. I just hope. Because sometimes when life comes, your phone will be down. Do you understand? So you don't always need a song. Sometimes let that be song from your spirit. And they dance from your heart. And you're just dancing. I dance to the rhythms of Yahweh. His song is the music of my heart. His voice is like music to my ears. Yahweh, I'm dancing to your tune.
Sometimes just dance.
I dance to the rhythms of Yahweh. Hemolata bashata. His voice is the music of my heart. His voice is like music to my ears. Yahweh, I'm dancing to your tune. Sometimes there is no music to play. You just, what's wrong with this one? They won't understand. Sorry if you're not able, let me speak it. Let me speak it in English. If you see a madman dancing in the middle of the road, he said, don't stop him. There is something playing music for him that you're not hearing. Oh, we are not curious, we are not that. Something. Every madman is in the middle of the road. He just means, something, there is a voice he's hearing in the spirit and not hearing. So when you see me, look at my kitchen and there is no food there. And I'm doing all about it. There is something playing music that you cannot hear. Something's playing music. I look at my skin. It's deteriorating. Boils everywhere. And I'm just dancing. There is something I'm responding to that I'm not hearing. So don't stop me. I don't think I'm stupid. I'm dancing to the rhythm of Yahweh. It's playing in my heart. Hallelujah. Oh, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. That is something I'm responding to my spirit. You don't need to hear it. Proverbs 17 verse 22. Ooh. Elebe shamala turabata. Zimelebelebelebelebele. Kokobambarata tatabashikateya. Elebe zubrendi shikum brateleakaya. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But a broken spirit dried the bone. Put up like an energy rotation. This is one major secret to divine health I'm showing you here. NLT. Listen to everybody. A cheerful heart is good medicine. But a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Even found out this now. They teach you. They treat you the hospital to a point. They say, go home. He needs family now. Because laughing, he has high chances of recovering. Sometimes people die because they are angry, they are bitter, they are sad, they've given up. Probably like amplified. A happy heart is good medicine. A cheerful mind works healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. All this sadness, everything you're forming depressed, is the reason your bone is always drying up. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. So you come to church, laugh, smile. You better laugh because some of you know that's the only time you've laughed throughout this week. And you wonder why things are like this. Many of us know how to laugh at rubbish. You laugh at comedy. You laugh at jokes. You laugh at people who are sick. You laugh at people who are broke. You laugh at every nonsense. But the thing you should laugh at. And I was correcting you the other day about the way the president tripped and fell. People were laughing. I said, why are you laughing at such things? There are better things to laugh about in God's word. Look at your healing promise in Christ Jesus and laugh out loud. Lord. Woo, that's the reason we do the way we do.
That's the reason we laugh the way we laugh. Now, when you form that exercise of laughing every day, when you are now eventually diagnosed of whatever sickness, laughing is no longer something you force yourself to do. You've trained yourself into it all the while. Do you understand why it's exercise? So you have a habit of laughing in the Holy Ghost every day. When they finally diagnose you of a digestive disorder, you are still laughing. What are you doing? It's been part of what you've been doing all the while. You've been laughing.
I dance to the rhythms of Yahweh. His voice is like music to my heart. His sound is like music to my heart. Woo, my Lord Abashandia. Yeah. I'm dancing to your.
You must learn to dance. Oh. The good thing about this kind of dance, you don't need to learn. And that's why I want to say something. This is a big digression. But you see, like, call me old school or whatever. I believe it's not every dance step that the believer should learn. It's not every dance step that the believer should dance. The reason is very simple. Some of these dance steps, most dance steps are telling a story. Some dance steps, when you see the movement of the hand, the leg, and all that, sometimes they're trying to depict sex. Now, that's not what you do when you are trying to be just in the Holy Ghost. No. I don't need to know how to do anything. I just respond to the rhythms in my heart. Sometimes it's just a jump. Sometimes it's just a run. Sometimes it's just laughter. Sometimes I'm running like a mad person. Don't pity me. There is something playing music for me that you're not hearing. So it's not what I do when I'm broke or what I do when I'm sick. That's how I do my life every day. I'm just happy. And I'm not just happy in my heart. I'm happy and you can see it. I lock myself in my room and I dance in the Holy Ghost. Something is rising in my heart. A music is rising in my spirit. Sometimes it's just a verse that lighted up in my heart. It might just be a verse. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose heart is stayed on you. Higher! Everywhere opens up. This is what ingests strength. And while I still standing, let me say this to you. I don't know if I'll revisit this matter later. This strength matter. But let me just drop this statement. Please. Watch out for the things that drain your strength. There are things that drain strength. You can't allow them into your system. And you must be wise. Fear drains strength. Worry drains you. You see worry. You get into worry before you know. How many of you, sometimes you get into worry. After worrying for like a long time, you get up tired and hungry. I mean physically. Any work you did in the morning, but you just woke up and you are worried throughout the morning, and you wake up, you are just tired. Do you know that fear cripples people? Like, do you know that people that have not started business today because they are afraid that the business may fail? Like, business they've not started, they are afraid that it may fail. Fear cripples you, it drains your strength. That's why you must feed on God's word. Busyness, unnecessarily busyness. Cripples you. Some people are just busy doing nothing. You are too engaged. Either you're on your phone Monday tonight. TikTok. You are tired. Even ministry, some unnecessary busyness creep makes you tired in ministry. That's why as a minister, you cannot be everywhere. Be where God wants you to be. If you're doing many things, you'll be tired. You'll be tired. So when it's now time to do what you're supposed to do, you don't have strength. Strife. I'll come to that later. Strife weakens you. Strife drains you of strength. Sometimes after fighting with someone, arguing with someone for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you don't even know how you feel. That's why as I'm growing older in ministry, I'm learning there are conversations to not have. Did you hear what I said? There are conversations you mustn't have. There are arguments you shouldn't engage in. There are talks that when they come up, you shift. Those things make you weak. It makes you weak, even spiritually weak.
That's one of the signs of spiritual strength in any family, is that you must minimize how many times you argue as a couple. You must minimize it. Once there is that constant back and forth, you are getting weaker. And the devil always has access to break into that home and mess that home up. Stay on the word of God. Don't be weak. Feast on the word. Let me give you 3 verses you can feast on. Is that okay? I'm done teaching. Psalm 18 verse 32. Just verses I saw earlier today on the strength of God. It is God that gathered me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Read it like Amplified Classic. God gathers me with strength. These are verses you can quote yourself. The God who guards me with strength and makes my way perfect. Message. He guards me with strength. Is it not this God who armed me, then aimed me in the right direction? He armed me and aimed me in the right direction. There is strength in God. There is strength in God. Psalm 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, God gives us strength. That's why nothing makes us afraid. Cancer doesn't make us afraid. Paralysis doesn't make us afraid. Kidney failure, whatever you call it, doesn't make us afraid. Because the Lord is the strength of my life. So sometimes when you're trying to stand up and say, oh, come on, the Lord is the strength of my life. They say, oh, this is happening to you, but the Lord is the strength of my life. So my strength is not in medicine. As much as I don't despise medicine. My strength is not in my diet, as much as I pay attention to that. My strength is not in all those things. The Lord is the strength of my life. The strength of my life. Psalm 29 verse 11. Woo! The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless people with peace. I love how Amplified Classic rendered this verse. As he made me rejoice earlier today. The Lord will give unyielding and impenetrable strength to his people. That is a strength that cannot be penetrated. Strength that nothing can break into your walls. The Lord is that strength. He makes me strong against sicknesses. So they say, oh, there is disease in the atmosphere. I have impenetrable strength. Strength that you cannot break into. Strength that sickness cannot break into. There is a way you do your wall and do your fence, your gate in your house. It will take Yahweh to break through the wall. You know, there are different kinds of doors. There's one of the doors in our house in the village. See, even let me tell you, for you to break into that wall, you have to bring Dorma to cut it into it. Because if you like it, I don't think Dorma can break into that. So that is impenetrable strength. Strength that sickness will hit, it will fall back. Bullets will jam you, it will fall back. One of the meetings we went to recently, the man of God is a soldier, Major General, was sharing a story of how that when he got into the army, he kept saying to himself, bullets cannot kill me. He kept saying it because he said he saw it in God's word. And he knows that the way people die in the army is very easy. So he kept saying, he kept declaring that, that's the verse he was quoting. He that does all those kind of scriptures, God will hide under his pavilion. He quoted it for long. He said, then one day he was talking with his friend. And his friend told him, all these soldiers, told him, guy, make I tell you one secret. He said, as we did this place, so bullets no fit kill me. The guy was talking, he has gone to do diabolic stuff. And the man of God said, yeah, even me. And the guy said, I know they joke, but he said, I think I'm joking. He said, I don't cook myself. I'm saying the same thing. Bullets cannot also kill me. The guy said, guy, I know they follow you. That means I know they follow you, joke. He said, he didn't know where that was coming from because he has been on that ward for a very long time. Until one day, they said they were in Samisa Forest. They were to do a walk. He was sitting on one seat. He would sit there for some time, stand up, walk around, inspect a few things, go back there, sit down again, stand up, walk around. He said, from morning till afternoon till evening, he was sitting there. After some time, he went to sit back again. And his soldiers, his officers, were like, wait, Oga. And he was sitting under an explosive that they had put there. Something stopped it from detonating. for morning. Because somebody said, bullets cannot kill me. That word went forth and held that thing. You can't harm my servants. Oh, hallelujah. There is strength in the Lord. Those are things that when you see, you'll be like, wow. I dance to the rhythms of Yahweh.
Listen, I'll show you one more scripture. It says there is impenetrable strength. Strength that the devil cannot break into. And Lord infuse that strength into you. This can happen all around you, but your strength is not broken. Ha 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 ha. Psalm 71 verse 16. Let me just close with that today. What of our time? Sunday, I will show you how to receive healing. You need that teaching if you are sick. If you are not sick, you need it and keep it. Keep it, just hear it and keep it somewhere. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. I put the scripture last because I was quoting it throughout this afternoon. I'm going in the strength of God. I'm going in the strength of the Lord. I'm doing life in the strength of the Lord. I'm taking over in the strength of the Lord. I'm doing ministry in the strength of the Lord. I'm doing life in the strength of the Lord. My organs function by the strength of the Lord. My heart functions by the strength of the Lord. I'm going in the strength of the Lord. You must learn to go in the strength of God. The Lord makes us strong. Ah. Ooh. I want to ask you to declare God's word. Fill this room with God's word. I've shown you like four scriptures that you know. Like, we're going to pick them up and you're going to declare strength over your system. Because your kidney is going to function well now. Your liver, everything aligned. Your bones, your heart, your head, everything. Your eyes, your ear, everything has to respond to the word of God. Sing that song.
To the rhythm of Yahweh. His words is the music of my heart. His voice is like music to my ears. Yahweh, I'm dancing to your tune.
Sing it again, I want to hear it like that again.
I dance to the rhythm of Yahweh. His word is the music of my heart. His voice is like music to my ears.
Word of God. I give you 3 minutes. Speak God's word all over this place. Whatever word God has put in your spirit this evening, shout it. Forget everyone around you. I go in the strength of the Lord. I declare my organs strong. My bones strong. My system strong. My whole body strong. Para, no quemará.
We close this evening.
From the moment that I wake up.
Yes, 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 yes.
Until I lay my head.
I will sing.
I will sing. Of the goodness.
Sing it again. I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
For your mercy never fails me.
For your
all my days, I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up, until I lay my head, I will sing.
Like no other.
I know you. the Lord said to me, some of you need to acknowledge His faithfulness and His goodness. I don't know what is happening to you, but I want to acknowledge His faithfulness. You've prayed over that thing for a very long time, it didn't go. Just acknowledge His faithfulness and His goodness. You are His soul. He's running after. He's running after me.
Your goodness is running after.
He's running after me.
He's running after me.
Your healing is running after me.
Your goodness is running after.
He's running after me.
He's running after me.
Your goodness is running after me. Your faithfulness, your healing is running after me. Thank you. We are in the days of restoration. God is making everything beautiful. Your life is, your health is functioning. Your body parts are functioning to the capacities that God made them to function. Your eyesight is restored. Your hearing is restored. Your bones are made strong. I've been hearing that word about bones. Your bones are made strong. Your body functions perfectly. Everything in your body is functioning well. In the name of Jesus. Any pregnant woman under the sound of my voice, online, on ground, your body is functioning well. Your system is working well. It's working perfectly well. No complications, no issues. In the name of Jesus. Buy the truth and sell it not. Get the word of God. Hold it tight. Every day. Stay on it. Things will realign. You see that your body, that pain in your body, that is like you've known it all your life, it will begin to respond to God's word. It's a matter of time. You are winning. I say you are winning. Have you ever imagined yourself standing on this stage to testify over that sickness they diagnosed you with? Imagine it now. Play it out in your heart. Dance the way you would dance on that day. Shout where you shout on that day. Rejoice where you rejoice on that day. The day you stand up here to say to everybody that the Lord restored me, and it's been 1 year and I've not felt that sickness again. Shout where you shout on that day. Where you will say the Lord gave me what I'm looking for. Hey! Hallelujah! So what song are you going to dance on that day? When you stand there to testify that God has restored you, what will be your song? I can meet you no new way at the world, mama.
Jesus, the world,
I love that song.
I can meet you no new way at the world, mama.
I can't get to the other way. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, you observe that there are certain songs I sing, Igbo songs, English songs. I sing them all the time, many times. Some of them remind me of specific milestones in my life where God came through. I remember some songs I danced on specific day. This was one. Ah, God is faithful. Let me not talk too much before I get emotional, but God is good. That things that go, and that's how it will be. One day you stand on this stage. Ah, this will be your own dance step. He will give you a song. Oh, he will give you a song. Come on. He will give you a song. He will give you a song. Ah! The Lord has given me a song. I love to have such songs in your life, songs that you can remember. That once you sing it, it reminds me of, it reminds you of something. Ah, you will remember that song. The first day you got your first car, the song you danced. When you got your first class results, the song you danced. When you got your healing, the day you went to the hospital and doctor said, nothing is wrong with you, the song you danced. Hey! Hallelujah! Make a habit of dancing. The day you get that medical report that will say, nothing is wrong with you. Ah, a song will rise in your heart. When the Israelites crossed Red Sea, Miriam sang a song. Some of you can write song, you don't know. It's when the thing happens from nowhere. He just begin to sing. You just saw that you'll be in some song or be Sinatra all the while. You know, just write yourself. It's there. When God does it, it will know. You will know. May God give you a song. He has given me a song. Sometimes it's a new song. Sometimes it's not even a new song. It's a song you've always known. But to just rise. Every day they sing that song. It takes your heart back. Amen. So there are songs I sing. There's a reason I sing them. And you really like them. Just because they remind me of things. Amen. Glory to God. God will give you a song. Like when you hear me sing this. Down in my heart, I have a joy that will never. That's the reason I sing that song. If you ask me, I can tell you what any song you hear me sing, ask me why, I'll tell you why. There was a day, you know, the Bible said, when the Lord turned again, the captivity of Zion, we were like them that drink, and so was our mouth filled with laughter. Then said the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. There is a song I remember, and I remember my marriage. Yes, there is a song I remember my marriage. Thank God for having a wife. If I sing it all the time, I remember. When the Lord finally said, I've settled you. Oh? God will give you a song. When you get a medical report, they said SS to AA. Ha! That's the way you will dance. It's very possible. They say your bones. You know, I'm just thinking, how will you dance when you get that result? And they say, do you mean you ever had this? Whenever you hear that question, just saw the healing has happened. What did they say you came here for again? So I came to test for this. Please, another test. You can come and say, are you sure you had this? Another test again. They have to check and check and check, and nothing will be seen. You live long. You live strong. With nothing wrong. That's not rhymes. That word came from our spirit man. I live long. I live strong. With nothing wrong. If I'm getting to my 95 years, I'll still be driving with my eyes. Yes. Breathing with my eyes. Because Lord is bringing me again. Is it the best shape of my life? We want to run in the Holy Ghost. I pity who doesn't have the Holy Ghost. I pity who doesn't laugh the way we laugh. God is faithful. Some of you are already counting. I got a testimony. Some of you are already counting. 2-3 years, you've never been admitted in a hospital. And some of it was stored every year. Because a merry heart doeth good like medicine. All this time we laugh in church, something is changing. Even the devil is tired of us. Why are you always laughing? I strike them with sickness, the guy is still laughing. Why won't I laugh? Because the more angry I get, the more you have your way. So I know what to do, I laugh. Laugh a little more. Hallelujah. Were you blessed this evening? Hallelujah. God is faithful.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.